Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. 3 points of attention, 3 thoughts. First, our Father in heaven. Let's not forget that our prayer starts with these words. Our Father which art in heaven. Secondly, give us this day. And thirdly, our daily bread. So the theme is give us this day our daily bread. 3 thoughts. First of all, our Father in heaven. Second, give us this day. Third, our daily bread. Our Father in heaven. Tonight, in the proclamation, we hear the fourth supplication or petition from the Lord's Prayer. And as we mentioned already, that fourth petition is, give us today, this day, our daily bread. A close listener tonight will notice a change in the tone of the petitions from this point on forward. It seems as if the direction of the prayers suddenly changed 180 degrees. First 3 prayers, we heard Thou, Thou, Thou. In other words, You, Heavenly Father. You, Heavenly Father. You, Heavenly Father. Your name, Your kingdom, Your will. He turned our face toward heaven, toward God. And suddenly, seemingly, a 180-degree turn, and we now pray, us, 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 give us our bread. Forgive our debts. Lead us not into temptation and bring us not in evil. Us, us, us. In other words, in a sense, we turn away from God and His kingdom toward earth. And our daily reality, the reality of our daily life and our daily existence. First, these first 3 petitions, they felt maybe a little bit distant. It was about God. We can't see Him. Right? We can't come close to Him physically. He's so distant. And now suddenly, everything we pray for is close to us. We are surrounded by it. It's about our bread. It's about our debts here inward. It's about our debtors around us. It's about the temptations of the world and the evil around us. First, we tread on heavenly soil, and now we tread on earthly soil. And suddenly we can feel, we can touch, we can smell. Maybe there is even at that breath of relief. Oh, this is familiar soil. This is my daily life. It's now about my afflictions, my daily life, what I experience. Until now, it was a little bit abstract. It was far away. It was removed from us. It seems as if there is a sudden great change in this prayer. Is it so? Is there indeed a change? Is there indeed a turn from God to our needs suddenly, from heavenly soil to earthly soil? Well, it will be clear that indeed, that's clear. There are 2 parts here in this prayer. That's clear. Calvin, the famous John Calvin, in his explanation of this prayer, refers to the 2 tables of the 10 commandments. And he tells us, and of course he's right, these first 3 prayers or petitions are about the first table of the law, love God above all. And the second three petitions are about the second table of the law: love your neighbor as yourself. You hear that economy echoed in this prayer. You, thou, and now us, the two tables. Clearly, there is a distinction here, there is a change. But is there a separation? Is it really true that we first tread heavily soil and turn toward God and then turn away from Him? Is it true? Is there indeed a separation from God suddenly? Is there a maybe? Because that's a danger in our world, in our post-enlightenment, modern 21st century world. Is there maybe a spiritual world? Spiritual life? And almost disconnected from it, we have our daily life. I'm afraid that many Christians, they will acknowledge this. They will not acknowledge this. But they live according to this dichotomy. I'm afraid that it is a reality in many Christians' life. And we think about our spiritual life, you know, as something inwardly that takes place here in the safe haven of this sanctuary. Maybe at home within our family life. Maybe before our bed on our knees. But in daily life, I'm not first and foremost a Christian. No. I'm an employee. I'm a boss. I'm whatever you are in life. Is it true? Is there indeed a dichotomy between our earthly existence, right, these prayers, these next three petitions, and these first three petitions, our spiritual life? It seems sometimes we are all citizens of this world, right, of our contemporary society, that He took back a step. It is as if the heavenly reality has retreated. Oh, most Americans will immediately acknowledge, well, there is a God. Of course there is a God. But He is removed from our daily existence. Far away. He is almost indifferent to our daily life. Our daily life, we take care of ourselves. And God, He's in heaven. We may serve Him in our own private life. That's okay for the American society. For our own spiritual well-being. But our daily life is governed by the laws of the government, by our hard work, by science, by the facts. In the end, you know, it is a world around us that at its core revolves around me. Me, us. The daily bread, indeed. Our debtors, indeed. And in that world, it's true, and it has its influence in the church. In that world sounds suddenly the prayer, after we turn to God, and then suddenly we hear this prayer, but Lord, Father in heaven, please take care of my daily bread. God is not only enthroned right there in heaven and seated in heaven. No, this is His world. There is certainly no separation at all between the first three supplications and the next three supplications. No, we pray to the one and the same God. And this world is His world. And this existence is His existence. We pray to the same God. And in His providence, He leads all things. Therefore, our Father in heaven begins with precisely these words, our Father in heaven. He's in heaven, but He's Father. He's Father. This is His world. This is His existence. Our life is in the end His life. What's the goal of our life? To praise God, to honor Him. That's the goal of our life. No, we do not enter another world suddenly with supplication 4, 5, and 6. No. It's one and the same world where God reigns as the Father in heaven. And our task and goal is to praise that God and to acknowledge Him and depend on Him and trust Him. The God to whom we pray is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, is He? Again, that question. Is He? Is He truly? Is He truly? Is He truly our Father in heaven? It's so easy to say. Words come easy from our lips, but is He truly our Father? Are our sins uncovered? Uncovered with Christ's blood? Only then we can truly pray our Father in heaven, when we know of that reality of uncovered sins and the cover of Christ's blood. But in Christ, then God is my God, and He is the God of the visible things and the invisible things. Listen to the Lord's Day 9, beautiful words. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence, He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. For He is able to do it, being an almighty God, and willing, being an almighty Father. We can say it more clear. Our Father in heaven. Again. In this 21st century, in this period of post-enlightenment, where science almost became a religion, and science dethroned God, and it sneaks in the church in our way of thinking. And we speak about our spiritual life as if our spiritual life is disconnected from our daily life. It's not. Our daily life is a spiritual life. And our spiritual life takes place in our daily life. It's one and the same life. We don't have two lives. There are no two realities. God is our God in Christ. And He's a God both of the visible and the invisible things. And our life is supposed to be a life, coram Deo, before God's holy countenance. And you suddenly realize, here I am, a sinner. And you suddenly stand there naked. Lord, here I am. And then you can't do anything else than to flee to Jesus Christ and to find a refuge in Him and to plead on His blood. Well, our life is coram Deo, our whole life. And again, there is no dichotomy between our spiritual life and daily existence. It's one and the same life, one and the same God. Well, with the words, our Father which art in heaven is our foundation, we pray, our bread, right? Three times us or our. Our bread, our debts, our guidance. Because why we need God for our bread? We need God to forgive our debts, and we need God to lead us, to save us from temptations and evil. Why? Because otherwise we can't serve Him. We can't live coram Deo. We can't glorify Him and praise Him. The world is created for God's glory. But we came disconnected from God by our fall. But Christ came in sinful flesh. In His flesh, although He lived holy, He took upon Himself sinful human flesh. In Him is forgiveness. In Him, even the relationship with God the Father is restored. And in and through Him, we can begin to live God-centered and to glorify Him, our Father which art in heaven. And then we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, because we acknowledge His providence. Give us today our daily bread. He is the God of providence. And we realize that we remain sinners and weak, and that our sin stands in the way. So we pray, forgive our debts. Otherwise, we can't praise thee. And we know that we need God's guidance. We are helpless without his guidance in order not to be brought into temptation and delivered. And we ask for deliverance from the evil one. Lead us, guide us. Well, here you have the next three prayers. The knowledge of salvation and restoration in Jesus Christ changes our life. There is indeed a 180 degrees turn toward God. And we acknowledge him as the God of our whole life, our whole existence. And so we pray tonight, give us this day our daily bread. And in this prayer resounds, first of all, an acknowledgement. We read in the Heidelberg Catechism, beautiful, that we may thereby, by that prayer, acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. So in this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we acknowledge God as the giver and the fountain of all good. Secondly, in this prayer, we hear dependence. We read in the Heidelberg Catechism, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. We ask for his blessing upon the work of our hands. Give us this day our daily bread. Please, Lord, bless the work of our hands. We hear of dependence on God's blessing. And thirdly, we hear of trust. We read in the Heidelberg Catechism, and therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Even our daily bread. We trust that God will provide. You see, in this prayer, we hear of acknowledgement. We hear of dependence. And we hear of trust. Well, let's move to the second thought and play and take a closer look at the content of this prayer. First, we pray. What's the first word here? Give. Give. We raise our hands, empty hands, beggar hands, and we utter these words, give. Our Father in heaven, your name be praised, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give, please give. And immediately it's clear again, there is this acknowledgement that God is the giver of our daily bread. And immediately in these words, please, Lord, our Father in heaven, give. You hear that dependence, it is that child praying, my Father in heaven. And you look around and you know, no, he's not only my Father, he's our Father in heaven. Please give. I'm so dependent on thee. And again, we hear of trust. I trust thee, Father in heaven, that thou will provide. Give us. But, if we let sink in these words, our Father which art in heaven. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. Then, with this give us comes gratitude immediately. And that gratitude is there in both prosperity and in adversity. Yes. When we truly pray, our Father which art in heaven, there is gratitude. Gratitude in all circumstances. Then his blessing is experienced in everything we receive from his hands. In all his providential works worked out in my life, in both prosperity and adversity, in abundance and in want. There is sometimes the misconception of around God's blessing. There is oftentimes, I think, And there's really a misconception of what God's blessing is. It has to do with some pagan remnants in us. What is actually God's blessing? What is the essence of God's blessing? What is the purpose of God's blessing? Let's begin there. What's the purpose of God's blessing? That it will bring us close to Him, that we will experience His nearness, His love, that there is peace, shalom in our hearts, that we bring forth fruits filled with the Spirit. Right? That's the purpose of His blessing. Well, if this is the case, how can we say, and how can it happen, that so oftentimes I hear, I'm so blessed because I have everything I need for my daily life. I have a house. I have, you know, $200,000 on my bank account. I have three cars. I'm so blessed. And then I hear all kinds of earthly blessings. But there is this question. I have a question for you. With all our possessions, look around us here in the United States. With all the riches of the United States, did it bring the United States closer to God or not? Well, the answer is clear. No, not at all. All the riches. And we are so easily to thank God because He brought us so many riches in our life. Thank thee, God, for. And then we will look to the reality around us. It wasn't a blessing. Because it didn't bring God closer to us. It's even the opposite when we look to the reality of our life around us. You know what? If all these earthly blessings make us more independent of God and make us more attracted to the things of the world, and then suddenly these things which we think are a blessing from God turned out not to be a blessing, because they didn't bring us closer to God. They removed us from God. God's blessing is there when it brings us closer to God. And it's wonderful, but God's blessing can be spoken of even in lack of everything. You're in your sickbed or your deathbed, but you are blessed. Why? Because God's God is all. And you know, He is my shepherd. He leads me through this earthly valley. He leads me through the valley of death. I trust Him. And you hear His sweet voice. And you have everything you want. Take away all I have. But please, don't take away my Savior. God's blessing can be spoken of in lack of everything, really. In hunger and thirst, in sickness and in mourning, in great sorrow. Because oftentimes, when the Lord comes with His Spirit in our life, and He uses oftentimes adversity, look in your own life. What were often the best times? The times of affliction and tribulation. The times of sickness, where you were waiting with the Lord, wrestling with the Lord. And later on, you look back in your life, you say, Lord, I was so blessed at that. I didn't see it, but I was so blessed. Because you had a rich view on the Heavenly Father. And you felt and you know His fatherly hand, so tender, and at your hand so strong. Oh, seeing that Heavenly Father, living in His nearness, in the end means indeed there is only one reality. There isn't a spiritual reality and an earthly reality. There is just one reality. My whole life is Coram Deo. There's no more separation between heaven and earth. They flow together. And where God is present in your life, you experience heaven. A foretaste of heaven. Give us. Please, Lord, may I experience You as my Heavenly Give, give. What is the second word? Give. I think we are apt, at least I am, apt to fill in me. Give me, give me. Often our prayers revolve around the word I, me, I. No, give us. You know that word me? It is the language of our fallen existence. But Adam was alone and God gave him an helper. And help me, man is not alone. And there is God's family. It is always us. We are only human beings in connection with other human beings and in connection with God. Give us. Us. That us is first of all the body of Christ. Give us, as the body of Christ, our daily bread. And when we pray these words, give us, as the body of Christ, our daily bread, you feel it is an exercise in fellowship. Give us. And you look around. You know, I'm not alone. Please, Lord, teach me how to sacrifice myself and to have an open eye for my neighbor and not to speak the wrong words. Lord, forgive. Give us. But it's not only the circle of the body of Christ. Of course, there is the wider circle because there is the second table of the Ten Commandments. There is the need of our neighbor, the neighbor near, the neighbor far, whoever he or she may be. And that resonates in these words, give us, and we fill in all these faces we know, close by, far away. Give us. And we think about the refugees who flood our land, even when they misbehave. They're God's creatures. Give us, including them. We even pray for our enemies. Give us. We are all created by God. Give us. And then, let's continue the prayer we hear. Give us this day. This day. Give me today, not for tomorrow. No, give me for today. Lord, teach me to take one step at a time. Not to take 10 or 20 or 30 steps or even a mile. Lord, teach me how to take one step at a time and to take each of these steps with thee, following thee. Lord, teach me. Give me this day, today, my daily bread. That's what I'm praying for. Now, here, sitting in the church. Later on, sitting with your family at a table. Whatever you do, give me now, at this moment, today, my daily bread. Matthew 6, verse 34. We have read these words. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And it will be different than we think now. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We pray that we, for what we need today, at this very moment, and not for tomorrow. The Lord continues to pray, to teach. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow it is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? It is little faith that we are so concerned about our future. Shouldn't we take care for the day of tomorrow? Of course, but there is an important difference between caring to take care and being concerned. And often we confuse these two. We think we care, but hidden in our hearts, we are so concerned about the day of tomorrow. So concerned. Lord, teach me to take, to follow thee every step on the road. And I'll, of course, I'll take care of the day of tomorrow, but I'm not concerned because I know the Lord will lead me. Often, let's be honest, our working and our laboring for the day of tomorrow is in the end, let's be honest, striving for money, angled. And it's a failure to see. Our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. It's Lord, it's thy existence. I am thy child. Thou knowest what is best for me. Lord, teach me all the way to follow thee through thy Son Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, our being concerned, and we call it to care for the day of tomorrow, is in the end a pursuit of power and a pursuit of pleasure. Just don't say too hastily no. Please consider these words. Poignant it is what we hear from the Lord's mouth. Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool. And that rich fool was a Jewish man. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He has withdrawn from the reality that our existence is coram Deo, before God's holy countenance. The Our Father in heaven has been hushed up and become a hollow phrase. Because I will lay up barns, I will take care. From now on, I will have pleasure in life. And then hear God's word. He took not one or two, he took not two or three steps, he took a mile. And then God comes in that night to this self-centered Jewish man. Thou fool. This night our soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? It's such a discovering prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, please teach me that thou art in control and that thou hast a plan for this world and for my life and that thou knowest what is best for me. In prosperity, when the Lord gives you prosperity, thank him. But let it bring you closer to him. When you are in adversity, that it may give you patience and lead you to Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. Before we move on to our last thought, let us sing Psalter 299. Psalter 299, stanzas 3, 6, and 7. That's Psalm 108, Psalter 299. Stanzas 3, 6, and 7. A last thought, our daily bread. It is amazing that in this short prayer, give us this day our daily bread, that we hear twice us or our, twice. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Our. And maybe we wonder, what is there of us in this our bread, our daily bread? What is there of us? Because we know by now, it is the Father who gives us that daily bread. It is the Father who gave us His creative and sustaining power. So there is daily bread. It is, in the end, the Heavenly Father's faithfulness and love. We receive daily bread out of His hand. He is the owner of all things. Although we possess certain things, He is the owner of all things, including our daily bread. So what is there of us with our daily bread? But let's not forget, who is speaking in this prayer? Who is speaking in this prayer? First of all, who goes before us? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who taught us to pray these words. And His followers are speaking after Him. And therefore, this is a prayer that sounds out of gratitude. Our daily bread, and we know it is given through Christ's merits to us. It is grace alone. We can indeed say our, but out of gratitude, it's God's free gift. But secondly, who is it that prays? Sinner, poor, lost in himself, but rich in God, the Heavenly Father. Who is it that prays? In himself, a prodigal, wayward child, but in Christ, an adopted son, our Father which art in heaven. And here we hear the tone in that our daily bread, the tone of wonder, of awe, the tone and the melody of a child that sees his father's hand filled with daily bread and knows that his father, her father, will give every day what is needed for the day. Give us this day our daily bread, the tone of awe. No, it is not entitled speech, as if we have a right on our daily bread. It's not this entitled speech. No, it is a childlike speech. Our daily bread, Father, Father, please. You are my Father in Christ, our daily bread. Wouldn't that Heavenly Father give us what we need? Father in heaven, even my earthly Father gives me what I need. Father, thou art so far greater, shouldn't give thee what I need daily? And we stand in awe as the child, so dependent on that Heavenly Father, so trusting that Heavenly Father, acknowledging Him as our Heavenly Father. The right to pray our daily bread is a right earned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him we can pray. Give us this day our, give us this day our daily bread. It is because He earned that right. It is a right that He bestows out of grace. It is a right that we have in Christ. Therefore, we can only pray this prayer by believing in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it are words in vain, empty, and we do not understand the scope of these words. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Himself, He teaches us, abide in me, abide in my word. Please abide in me, because it is in Him that we can pray all these prayers, three times us, our. And there is one more facet in this us, right? This us that we hear twice. Give us this day our daily bread. In a sense, it is indeed our bread, in the sense that we are reminded of our duty to work for our income. We might forget it, but there is, as we have the possibility, as long as we have the possibility to work, we have the duty to work for our income. The Lord does not know of lazy people in His vineyard. No. He does not know of lazy people. We have a duty to use our God-given talents and make good use of our time. Listen to the words of the form, the marriage form. It are beautiful words. We read there, and since it is God's command that the man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, Genesis 3, verse 19, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling wherein God has set you, that you may maintain your household honestly and likewise have something to give to the poor. Here we are. Give us today our daily bread, reminded of our duty. But notice. We move on to the end of this prayer. It speaks about bread, right? Bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We do not pray, give us this day a thickly filled sandwich. No. Give us this day my bread. In other words, Lord, thou knowest what I need today. Give me, please, what I need. And everything we receive more, it's God's blessing and grace. Give us what we need. Bread, because we can't live without bread, isn't it? We all need our bread. But, for bread to be on the table and eaten from, much is needed. So with His word, give us today our daily bread, we pray for so many things. We pray for health to eat. We pray for a table to put the bread on. A chair to sit and to be able to eat. A roof on one's head. Money to buy bread. A distribution system so that the bread is brought to the store. A bakery or factory to make bread. So there must be flour. So there must be grain. So there must be a farmer with his labor. So there must be sunshine and rain. And we continue and continue and continue with that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray for all these things necessary to live. All those things that we so desperately need every day to live for. And with the Lord and to praise the Lord, because that's the goal of our life. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. In order, why? What's the purpose? To praise God, to serve Him, to walk in His commandments, to follow Jesus Christ, because God is enthroned on the praises of His people. Therefore we pray, give us this day our daily bread to praise. We pray our daily bread, not just bread, again, that word day, twice us. twice day, our daily bread. It is an acknowledgement that everything we need daily, and that for many of us seems so obvious because all the cupboards in our house are filled, but it's all due to God, thanks to Him. He is the one who provides daily bread. It comes from His hand. We pray these words, our daily bread, in dependence. Consider the words of Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So we pray these words, give us this day our daily bread, in dependence on the Lord. And thirdly, we pray in confidence, in that trust, our Father which art in heaven, that God is a merciful Father in Jesus Christ, His Son, and that He knows what we need, and that He will give us what we need in His providence, whether it is prosperity or adversity. He knows what is best for our salvation, the salvation of our beloved ones, the increase of His church and kingdom, and His glory. He knows what is best. Give us this day our daily bread, so that we, with many others, may praise Thy name, because Thou art enthroned on our praises. In conclusion, it makes perfect sense, isn't it, that our prayers sound at the beginning of our meal and the end of our meal. Of course, it makes perfect sense. If we see all of this, it is so naturally to pray before the meal and after the meal. Hear the words of Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. We have an obligation to pray before our meal and after our meal, and to thank the Lord that He gave us our daily, what we need, and even oftentimes far more. And remember that the Lord Jesus preceded us in these things. Matthew 14, verse 19. Matthew 14, verse 19. You read it also in other places. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. This is before the meal. And looking up to heaven, He blessed. He prayed, Our Father which art in heaven. And He brake and gave the loaves to His disciples, and the disciples to His multitude. So the Bible is clear. There's a prayer before the meal. There's a prayer after the meal. But all of this, that it is the Lord Himself who taught us to pray, and the Lord who preceded us in praying, it brings us to the heart of the matter. And we close with these words. Our daily bread is a gift of grace. It is grace alone. It is given to us for Christ's sake. How terrible it is that we receive our daily bread and there is no faith and no repentance. We receive out of God's hand our daily bread, and there is no acknowledgement of Him, no dependence on Him, and no trust in Him. Then all these things and all the prayers you uttered and all you received out of God's hand will testify against you one day. I gave you so much, and you never acknowledged me. You never trusted me really. You didn't learn to depend on me. Go out. How blessed are we when the Spirit opens our heart and we see this reality that God, our Father in heaven, gave us His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. How blessed are we when all our sins are uncovered and covered with Jesus' blood, and that in him we know we are adopted as sons. How blessed are we when we follow Jesus Christ and follow him in this prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, here I am. Teach me, lead me. Teach me to take one step at a time. Please, Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy words. Lord, what a wonder it is that thou gavest thy word, and that we were allowed to listen to their words, and that thou dost speak not in a strange language, but in plain language, in for us understandable language, in English. We heard in the end thou voice in plain English teaching us who thou art, who we are. Lord, be the after preacher, that we all will pray with a true believing heart. Our Father which art in heaven, followed by that prayer, give us, and we look around, this day our daily bread. Lord, go before us the coming week. Thou knowest what awaits, but Lord, we trust thee. We know that we depend on thee, but we know that thou art a loving and a merciful Father in Jesus Christ our Son. Lord, please give us thy Spirit. Forgive our sins. Help us. Teach us, Lord, to take indeed one step at a time, and every step in the total dependence on thee. In the acknowledgement that thou art the Heavenly Father, in Christ thy Son, trusting thee, that thou knowest what we need, step by step. Lord, hear our prayer in the name of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 400. Psalter 400. That's Psalm 146. We'll sing four stanzas. Psalter 400, stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 7. Four stanzas. Lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessings of the Lord. The Lord, he bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.